I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app
and hit subscribe.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Coming up today on the Football Ramble. Yeah, and apparently he's becoming a bit of a sex symbol online after one of
becoming.
His posts. Yes.
Fake news. Totally fake news.
It's where he starts bogling with that guy's camera tripod.
Yes!
That's a bit...
I'm ready if it's fighting time, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Luton gut Brighton and Arsenal impressed too. It's Wednesday, 31st of January. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
I'm Pete Donaldson.
And I'm Andy Bradford.
Gonna get ya, ramble, ramble. Gonna get ya.
Welcome, everybody.
It's dead space. Fill it with stuff.
Why not?
Why not? Yeah. Just talk over everything.
Fill it with you specifically. Mm. Look at you. Not a radio professional anymore. Yeah, talk over everything.
Crash the vocals. There's no vocals I'm allowed.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Add the vocals, you coward.
Add it. Do some rapping.
Crying out loud.
The rap I did in the middle of Street Spirit by Radiohead was one of the reasons why I got kicked off the radio in the first place.
I know. They were just called radio when you were in the
exactly.
band.
Exactly.
But they had to do something. Thanks to Friend of the Ramble, Josh Bavington Barber, for sending us today's intro line. What a name. You can become a friend.
Do you have any spots?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, good. You can become a friend of the Ramble by heading over to patreon.com/footballramble. And if you do that, you lucky people, you'll also get a special extended version of the Ramble today and every single Wednesday for just $5 a month.
Oh.
Head over to patreon.com/footballramble. And on that episode that we do call Ramble Uncut, things are revealed, people,
which
I'm amazed haven't got us in prison. So far.
As soon as you see that $5, the ramble just gets extended.
Yep, there it goes.
Pinocchio's nose. Yep.
Which is like, appropriate, really, because it is full of lies.
It is.
Oh, dear. The scoreline didn't lie at Luton last night, Jim. It was Luton 4, Brighton 0.
Yeah, it was magnificent.
You predicted it?
I did. Yeah. I considered all the options and this was among them.
That's right. You weighed it up and you thought, couple of early goals and then a couple more.
Someone get a hat-trick in there.
It was a stunning result.
I think four goals will be enough.
Yes.
I think four goals will be enough for Luton to get out of this with a point. And that's what I was thinking.
And the relegation zone, of course.
Indeed.
They were 2-0 up after 2 minutes and 17 seconds. At the quickest, a team had gone 2-0 up in the Premier League since Leicester City scored 2 in the first 2 minutes against Derby in 1998.
Wow. It's a good bit of scaffolding for a match, isn't it?
Yeah.
Was that dreadful Derby, or did that predate dreadful Derby?
Every Premier League iteration of Derby's been pretty bad, hasn't it? But this wasn't the sort of like record-breaking bad one.
No,
this was the one-shot days, was it? So actually, they were pretty good then, weren't they?
They were certainly not as bad.
Not as bad as the worst team in Premier League history.
Speaking of Derby's, I mean, could Luton get involved in the whole kind of Palace-Brighton Derby for a laugh? Because like,
that'd be
probably
funny,
same train
it?
Line, isn't it? What's that one that goes from Brighton up to... sort of Wellington City.
Luton's not on there, is it? I don't know.
I don't know. It feels
like
it should be.
I like the idea of them getting really
into
getting
it.
Really
yeah.
Into
well,
it.
What they need is Watford to come back up, really, yes. Because yeah, they used to be a sticker in a public house not far from this studio, which was a big picture of Elton John on the cistern, and it said, "Elton shits on the Luton."
Oh, okay.
Which is a gauntlet, if ever there was one.
From that's up there.
What, for
the top of the toilet?
I was going to say, from Elton himself, perched on the top of the stand.
Yeah,
very strange. Yeah.
Imagine that's how he decided to retire. He said, "I'm not doing it anymore." And he's spotted
prove it.
Just shitting on the Luton from above.
It would get our
shitting
attention.
Yeah.
It would get a tour of sorts, I suppose, to finish. By the way, I'm
he
quite
could
sure
a helicopter. Which would be the most practical way to do
helicopter.
It.
Helicopter. Elton John's helicopter.
I think that's too dangerous, Jim, quite frankly.
Maybe they should up it from the whole kind of putting a banner behind a plane. Poo out of a chopper. Put your money where your bum is.
Rocket
come on.
Man.
So for just $5 a month, even more of
we
the
are,
good stuff.
We are doing Uncut First, yeah?
I think so. We've sort of delved into it there. By the way, I'm quite sure there isn't a train from Brighton to Luton. It'd be very strange if there was.
Yeah.
Isn't it? There's a weird train that goes Brighton all the way through, up through St Pancras and then out again.
No, I think someone who used to live in Brighton, I'm very confident there isn't.
Yeah, you stopped at London, though. You had no business.
Yeah, it goes through. It goes through.
Goes up to St Albans, doesn't it?
St Pancras, and it goes to St Albans. Yeah.
St Albans, Luton, same place.
Maybe Stephen and John.
Who cares?
Doesn't matter.
Frankly, who cares?
But it was a good win.
Just get involved in the derby.
Yeah.
If there's no connection, even better.
Do it.
It was a good win for Luton anyway. Aston Villa drew Luton fans. Great! Okay, don't worry. We will talk about the match. It was incredible. Elijah Adebayor scored. Funnily enough, his first ever Premier League hat-trick. But more than that, as Opta pointed out, he's the first Luton player to score a top-flight hat-trick since Lars Elstrup against Norwich City in September 1990.
Oh, Lars Elstrup and that lovely left foot.
I thought you'd be a fan, Andy. And the first to do so at Kenilworth Road since Mark Steen against Oxford United in February 1988. Big things, everybody. It was stunning stuff, Andy. Yeah. They were straight out of the traps. As we say, the first 2 minutes, there were a couple of goals up.
The thing is, because it happened so quickly after kickoff, you couldn't separate it from Tom Lockyer being presented to
exactly.
the crowd.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know,
every home game now for the rest of the season.
Sometimes you think, well, I think people are overreaching. But because it happened so quickly, because they came out of the traps so fast, just... like monstered Brighton from the off. They were just all over them. They just totally swarmed.
The press was on.
Yeah, well, I don't know quite what the situation was with Tom Lockyer in terms of him perhaps coming back. But whatever happens, as I say, home games now, he's got to do that.
It was a very emotional kind of seeing him with his foot on a football that chances are he probably won't kick again at the training ground and sort of walking around and stuff. It was hearing the Foo Fighters, his favourite band. Uh-huh. I'm not actually sure what song they actually played. I'd actually quite like to know what.
Right.
Maybe it's My Hero. That's what
maybe,
I would
or maybe
like say
an old
Lockyer.
B-side.
An old B-side.
Maybe he
Big
got to
Me.
Pick it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was lovely
walking
to see.
After you. You never hear that song anymore.
Yeah. And of course, it often if a team goes 2-0 up, you think, okay, are they going to hang on? Are Brighton going to come back to it? No.
No.
They kept their foot on the gas and Brighton's head.
I think the first two goals were slightly gift-wrapped by Jason Steele, weren't they? The first one maybe...
Second one, definitely.
Second one for sure. The first one, I think he probably could have done a bit better on that as well. So maybe they thought, you know what? We don't want your pity goals. We want to score some real goals.
Well, Brighton just kind of came on and they've done this quite a lot this season. They've insisted on playing quite nice, tidy stuff.
Yeah.
But when the strikers are sort of pressing so hard, your tidy stuff becomes a little more fraught and a little less tidy.
It's true. There was
slight injury to João Pedro, so De Zerbi said, oh yeah, we'll see how that happens.
Well, you will miss the five penalties you'll get in a game.
Well, indeed, I was going to say, Brighton didn't get a penalty, so how are they going to score? Brighton fans fuming at that, no doubt. But it's a fabulous win for Luton. They're out of the relegation zone, of course. And that is such a huge thing. Because at this stage of the season, we're nearly in February, to kind of climb out of there, psychologically, it gives everybody a huge boost.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think if you go back, I think this game in particular is a very important game, not just because of the manner in which they won it, but if you go back to the first game of the season where they lost 4-1 at the Amex, it could have been a lot more.
Yeah.
You had the impression that Brighton weren't really extending themselves, even though they beat them 4-1. Mm-hmm. And at that point, every know-all out there is going, Luton are going to break that derby record. They're going to finish with basically no points. And so for them to get from where they were then to where they are now, I mean, you talked about, how Brighton sort of shrunk into themselves and Luton was so up for it from the very beginning. It's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy, isn't it? Mm. What they're able to do at Kenilworth Road now. Mm. That thing that's sort of first started to come up a couple of months ago where Rob Edwards kind of talked it into existence when he said, we're going to have to be really strong at home. We're going to have to really make this an awkward, difficult place. We're going to have to play off the physical characteristics of this stadium to make the most of it. And the players have really bought into that. They've really started to believe that, haven't they, the way they're playing at home.
And so's Peter Drury on commentary, because when that second goal went in, he went, oh, the spirit of this place. They're flying like they've never flown before.
Yeah. There was a lot about this being sort of their best result in the Premier League, wasn't it? Which is absolutely true, a 4-0 win at home. And this is, you're absolutely right, Andy. It feels like a lot of hard work is coming to fruition in terms of how they're playing at home now and how they're making it into a bit of a fortress, as we've spoken about before, because they've had a lot of games where they've not got a result, but they have really, really taken it to teams, and top six as well. Yeah exactly. Mm-hmm. So they've made it hard, but they've not quite been getting the results. I think this must feel like this huge like wave of a real release, actually, of that this is the culmination of everything they've been trying to work on in terms of how they play at home, and it must just feel fantastic.
Well, release an affirmation as well of what they're doing, and look, Adebayo will take the plaudits, absolutely, so he should, and again, for a striker who's not scored that many goals because of the position they're in and newly promoted side and all that, the confidence it gives him and so on. But again, that man, Ross Barkley, has taken to this like a duck to water. It's wonderful to see.
The clarity he brings to that sort of intensity is really, really
important.
But
it's so good because
really important.
How many people have said, and they're right to say this, that with Barkley, he could have been one of those footballers who, great talent, of course, and he's achieved a lot in the game. I know he wasn't a regular starter for Chelsea, but he still played for Chelsea and won trophies there. And then leaves there, and it's a little bit bitty, and you think, is he going to end up in, say, Saudi Arabia or somewhere like that? He's taken to this because we that you've got to be up for the fight if you're for a newly promoted side who are going to be fighting relegation. He's rolled his sleeves up, but he's also got that quality that he brings as well.
Yeah.
And it's been huge for them. So, yeah, and Rob Edwards, as Andy was saying, Jim, he does seem to tap into the emotions very, very well.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a big part of, I suppose, what still feels like a journey, isn't it? I think, apologies to any Luton fans listening, you might think that sounds quite patronising, but I guess whenever a team comes up into the Premier League for the first time, it is always kind of labelled that way, isn't it?
And but where they've come from as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. It's happened to the emotion. Jürgen Klopp does that.
Indeed.
Arteta does that.
It's a different thing though, isn't it? But I think he is a huge, huge part of the direction in which they're heading. Mm. And the stability that they feel. There's a lot of clubs in the league where their position feels more perilous than Luton's, despite them being further up the table. And as you say, a lot of that is because of him.
Yeah, and apparently he's becoming a bit of a sex symbol online after one
becoming.
Of his posts.
Yes. Now I'm saying becoming, he's been that for a long time, hasn't he?
Well, it's obvious, isn't it? You just have to look at the man.
Yeah,
the bone structure.
In this
good
studio,
Lord.
Very much. But I think some people are just cottoning on, Peter.
Mm. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
We are perverted tastemakers.
But he strikes me as sort of like, he looks, I'm going to say, now I live in Essex, he looks Essex handsome.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Rather than Telford handsome.
I know what you mean.
He doesn't look like he's from Telford. He looks too proper. that's come out wrong. He looks too sort of
come on. Have another go.
Have another go. Yeah.
Clean.
Groomed.
He just groomed.
Yeah. Okay.
I wouldn't sort of say like Telford strikes as being a load of blokes walking around that looks quite groomed. He looks he looks like the lads with arm tattoos who live on my street, basically.
Long t-shirts and rolled up at the
sleeves. Exactly, yeah. Driving a Range Rover.
I wouldn't say the word groomed around any of them, given how you look. Just in case there's any misunderstanding.
What do they think of you? They must
think I'm out grooming, yeah. I dress like a groomer.
Oh, they must sort of go, okay, it's not our style, but we respect it.
No, none of that.
No, you're joking.
I've turned up at five. I've turned up at seven aside before in Funky Trues, and they've given me both barrels. To be honest,
aren't the local kids moving your moped into places where it gets parking tickets?
Yes, yeah, they're doing that as well. Yeah.
We'll talk about that more around. Like Cutterfield. But you do wear a roll neck. They like a roll neck.
Like a roll neck. Yeah, I'm trying to blend in.
Essex boys in French resistance love a roll neck.
Everyone's got a little dog, a Range Rover, and an arm tattoo, and beautiful hair.
And you're not allowed to ask them any questions.
You're not allowed to ask them any questions.
Okay. So Rob Edwards is a bit like one of them.
Yeah, that's okay. What he just looks like, a bloke from Essex.
I think you're right. Yeah, no, I think...
So apologies to the people from Telford.
Brighton have only 3 wins in their last 16 Premier League games.
Do you reckon that's why Roberto De Zerbi is getting linked with the Barcelona job?
You reckon?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the sort of level of low-key failure we can embrace.
I don't think he's been a failure at Brighton, Andy, has he?
He's just revving up for the Crystal Palace match the weekend.
I think that's what it is.
Exactly.
Look, Brighton are 8th. They're still in a good position in the league, and they're still in Europe. So leave off.
I would have thought at the start of this season, with them being in their first season in Europe, it would have gone a lot worse for them in the league.
Yeah.
But then again, I would have said the same about Newcastle going into, there's a sense that they've been a bit disappointing this season, isn't there?
I mean, they have been, Andy.
Because compared to elevated expectations beyond what is realistic.
Yeah, maybe I'm being harsh. I mean, Brighton, as I say, there's still all to play for, but Luton are out of the relegation zone because Fulham did not win at Craven Cottage. They drew 0-0. You and I were there last night, Andy.
We were?
We couldn't believe there wasn't a goal at either end.
One of the better 0-0 draws.
It was a pulsating 0-0. Chances galore.
Jordan Pickford and his tiny kit had a good game, didn't they?
His kit does look a bit too small for him. His socks are a little bit too short, as are his shorts. So there's quite a big gap between short and leg. Sock.
There's a strong lost property vibe going on there.
Yes. There is. He's forgotten his trues.
That's a nice, but he proved again why he's England's number one.
Yeah, I mean that save at the
end was a particular save.
That one-handed save
was it was a header from Adara Bayoyo, I think. Maybe.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I mean, because there were so many.
He's so good. Even if he'd have had to do it in his vest and pants, he still would have pulled it off.
Plimsolls instead of boots.
Yeah, that's it. That's two Premier League home games for Fulham against Everton in a row now, where it's been 0-0. It's been a Pickford masterclass. Mm. Man of the match, he was.
One of the best passers on the pitch as well. We were saying that, weren't we?
Yeah, him and Tom Kearney.
Yep.
It's a shame that Alex Iwobi wasn't there for the Alex Iwobi derby.
It is a big shame. But I mean, Marco Silva picked up the pieces there, you see, ex-Everton manager. So the spoils were shared. Fortunately for Luton, I suppose. You mentioned Newcastle United there, Andy. Let's go to Villa Park, where Villa Park lost 1-3 to Newcastle United. The big surprise here was that Fabian Scher got a couple of the goals in 3 minutes.
He's good for them. Could have had 3, I think. I would have loved to have seen a Fabian Scher hat trick. That's real, the odds on
can
that.
Can I just say, that's such a Pete Donaldson take on this.
Why?
Fabian Scher scores 2 goals in 3 minutes.
I'd like
could
three.
Have had 3.
He had a really good chance. He was unfortunate that
focused
the
on the positive man.
Well, he does pop up with goals now and then.
He's got a range of them, isn't he?
He
scores from like sort of long range, a bit of a poacher in the box.
Yeah.
Is he a striker?
Well, Eddie Howe said, if you put him up front.
Move him into midfield. I think that was the plan this season, if we have any more injuries.
Howe said if you put him up front, he would score goals. You're thinking, why didn't you do that then?
Well, Switzerland have a go.
Yes.
He's
use them as this share guinea pig.
He's enough of a good footballer that I think you can play him in pretty much any outfield position.
Much like Jordan Pickford.
He'd probably do a decent job in goal as well. But the thing is, you look at these goals, they're just such cultured finishes as well. Now, of course, with Alex Isak going off just before half-time, he might have to play
up
top.
Have to go up top. Bring your boots.
Sell Callum Wilson today, as you seem like well up for.
I mean, I think whoever takes that cut and shut at the moment, at this moment in time, that category E footballer.
Leave off for handsome Cal, would you?
Oh, mate. He'd like Cher and him both kind of bring the handsomeness up.
Him and and the two of them and Rob Edwards in a Range Rover.
Yeah, I'd take that.
And we're just watching.
I feel like that film where they're what's the one about the models that they're all dancing around in the
Essex Boys.
Zoolander. It'd be like a scene in Zoolander.
Okay. But a great win for Newcastle. I mean, they're the first side to win at Villa Park in 346 days.
I don't know why they played quite such a high line, Villa. It's like
they don't respect Newcastle.
It was good to see, and I think they're picking up a bit of form at a really important time for Newcastle. They've had a terrible Christmas period, and they've come out the other side just needing points, really. But yeah, really important clean sheet against your Fulham, and let's hope they kick on. They've got quite winnable fixtures apart from Arsenal this month. So
that's a grudge match now, though, isn't it?
So yeah, it's a good point. That's the derby,
big old grudge.
More importantly, Pete, can they lean into their villainy fully? And having said all transfer window, it's really quiet, we haven't got any money, signed like six players on loan from the Saudi Pro League.
Well, that's very much what they did.
Deadline day.
That's what they very much what they did in the summer. We haven't got any money. It's 80 million.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, you're right though to say that it's been a better period. I mean, staying in the FA Cup or going through to the next round, as it's known. You know,
rare for Newcastle at this point in the season.
That's just the attitude around the club, isn't it?
Howe said it was a huge boost to win that game. I mean, obviously, I mean, Fulham didn't have much cutting edge at all in the game, but it's still a fellow Premier League side. You're away from home to go through, keep a clean sheet. It's a good win.
And just to be competitive in those games, because those were the games for so many years under Ashley. It's like, we actively don't want to win anything. It's not even we don't give a shit. We actively don't want to win anything.
We'll just stay in the league, 17th? Fine, 16th, a bonus.
Go out there and get us some days off, boys.
Right. And to follow it up with a win at Villa Park. I know Villa have obviously been blisteringly good this season.
They were wobbling a little bit before Christmas, despite the results were still more or less
exactly.
There,
yeah, they'd won one in their last four.
Talking
which is
of
now five,
trying to match unreasonable expectations.
Mm. Yeah, I mean they've had a great season so far, but we expected that at some point they may have to sort of slow down a bit. They've obviously been playing European football as well, but it's still a good win and taking their chances, blah 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 blah. They get the 3 points. And what was lovely to see, Jim, was Bruno Guimaraes celebrating with some Kinder bars that were given to him by a Newcastle fan in exchange for his shirt.
He's a fascinating character, Bruno Guimaraes, because on one half he's really wholesome. Here, then
you got another half. It's Kinder Bueno. You get two.
Indeed. But he's got the sort of angel and the devil in him on the pitch as well. So there's this really really wholesome situation where he's been given some Kinder because everyone knows he loves them, and then later on we see he's left a message on Joe Linton's Instagram profile where Joe Linton is celebrating his son's birthday, very young son's birthday, and Guimaraes says, "Happy birthday, you little bastard." He's great.
Maybe he'll give that little bastard some chocolate.
Maybe it's an interesting period at Newcastle, isn't it? Because obviously results have picked up and they look really together, particularly yesterday. They look really, really sort of together as a unit. And I was wondering if with the situations with Miggy Almiron and Callum Wilson being quite publicly up for sale, seemingly partially at least against their will, if that might cause a little bit of disharmony. But that hasn't happened at all. So I suppose credit to Eddie Howe there in terms of how they've kind of weathered that storm of, I think four defeats in a row, wasn't it?
And that
feels like it's in the past now.
Yeah, and Almiron got a lovely assist as well last night. Yeah.
He played well when he came on, and you could sort of argue that he probably wouldn't be in a great headspace, but yeah, he seems absolutely fine.
It's always nice to see Jacob Murphy.
He's so lovable.
His reaction to getting the goal. I mean, obviously he was never going to get that goal, but like when they talked to him at post, he went, "Ouch!" Out for 7 matches. That was 7 weeks, and I'm coming back to this. Ouch!
Yeah. But I mean,
he's just utterly charming.
Yeah,
lad.
We remember the Champions League theme tune when he played, and he was just loving it. You know, it's great, isn't it?
Yes.
Really is good to see him doing that. What was also nice to see is Unai Emery turned away from the Newcastle bench before Jason Tindall could shake his hand.
Yeah,
after the game.
So there's another grudge match.
But that's where probably Newcastle need to get back to, because they're hated for bigger reason than just football reasons, for obvious reasons. They need to get back to being absolute arseholes to play against, which is when Newcastle have historically played better.
If the Piff Posse hired you and say, look, make the club a bit more lovable, how would you do it?
I'd put Legion of Doom style spiky protective thing when we come out. Like spiky suits.
Yeah.
I would, a lot of fire kicking around, just fires. Just
spiky
fires going
suits
off.
And fire. You'd make it look like hell. Yeah. That's how you make it the more lovable.
Cage, yeah, because I think you can see like a big cage around the top of it, like Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, because I think
it's all
be,
wrestling gimmicks, to be honest.
That's fine.
Virgil will be in the dugout.
You've got the job.
Thank you.
No, I think you just make it so obvious that, yeah. This is what we are. People go,
you have to,
oh,
lean,
fair
into, you have to lean into your key tributes. Yeah.
$1 million man, not even Virgil. Get him in the dugout with loads of money going,
you need to be $1 billion man these days. just a $1 million man. This is the Premier League, you dickhead.
Jacob Murphy's worth two. Yeah.
Go down to the National League. Right out loud.
I'm the $1 million. This club will exist in 2 years' time.
George Ellacobi's made some United going, is that all you've got? Sod off. Silly sausage. Before we move on, a little mention for Ollie Watkins, scored his 50th Premier League goal.
Yes. He could have had a couple, and that is not me having a go at him.
I was gutted when his in air quotes second was ruled out for offside, because it was marginal and it was offside, but that would have made the game a real grandstand.
And the assistant ref genuinely looked emotional when he gave that offside. He was like, a bit,
I've got to!
Oh my God!
Very good. I've recently found out where Jeff Hendrick is playing.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he's still on the books at Newcastle United.
Books, yeah.
But he's on loan at Sheffield Wednesday. Was photographed recently playing paddle with Stormzy.
It's the last thing we need is Stormzy right now. Because since Stormzy's disappeared, the Skeng man, he has, the storms have arrived.
Right.
And now we don't need another Stormzy, do we?
All right.
I'm just saying, I've not seen Stormzy run. Now we've got a lot of storms.
Who's Russell Grimm? What's going on here?
I'm the god of grime.
Yeah, okay, right. I see what you mean. I forgot about that. Sorry.
It is quite a Partridgian sentence, isn't it?
What's that?
Jeff Hendrick playing paddle with Stormzy.
It's
a Partridge idea.
Paddle? Have you played a lot of paddle?
No, but I like the idea. I like the idea that some footballers, I forget who the high profile ones, I'm going to say Hatem Ben Arfa.
Right.
He's really good at it.
Yeah.
He's in the world top 50.
That's amazing.
Yeah. He's got all that. How's he going to ruin it? Andy.
Surprised he managed to stay within the walls of the. You can go outside.
Presumably, leave it for tennis.
Well, do you know what I was going to? I was going to link him.
Not a chance. He's leaving it for tennis.
Do you know what would be good? I don't know. I'm sure they don't do doubles in paddle, but some kind of
it's all doubles.
Up. Is it?
Yeah, it's all doubles.
It's like
paddle
like
is all doubles.
Calm tennis, isn't it?
It is calm tennis with walls. It's squash.
No, you know, as in, it's a one player versus one player. You don't have doubles.
Yeah, you do. Paddle it's a doubles game. I'm fairly certain. Look, I mean, tennis fans, strike me down.
That opens up the chances of
Nick
Ben Arfa falling out with someone.
Nick Kyrgios,
you see,
the Aussie tennis player. Yes. Yes. Ben Arfa, that would be great.
Yeah, Ben Arfa there.
I think I did.
You brought him into the modern era of relevance. I tell you, I think at least once a week, I think about that documentary they did at Clairefontaine, where young Abu Dhabi, when they're all about 14, wants to hit him. And one of their teammates puts Ben Arfa on the balcony, shuts the doors and draws the curtains so DRB can't see him, so he stops going mad.
Like he's a dinosaur.
And that's great for Ben Arfa.
Magnificent.
Because he just gets to sit out in the sunshine, presumably on the balcony. Yeah. And
he's still there talking to himself, having his side of the argument.
No, but yeah. My goodness. All right, everybody. Coming up in the second half, we've got Arsenal impressing at the City Ground, Eberechi Eze, and some wonderful happenings in the AFCON and the Asian Cup. See you in a moment.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Been to see the referee. I've told him that one of his assistants was eating a sandwich at the time. I thought that was a complete lack of respect. Hopefully he enjoyed his sandwich while he was talking to a Premier League manager.
Welcome back to the Football Hour. Chris Wilder after the game yesterday, angry with the sandwich. Before we get to that game, let's talk about
sandwich.
Nottingham Forest 1, Arsenal 2. The only surprise really in this game, it was only one goal in it, Jim.
Yeah, this is a very, very welcome change from the last three visits to the City Ground for Arsenal, which have all ended in defeats. Two of those, obviously, were in cup competitions when Forest won the Championship. And it felt like, you know, a friend of mine supports Forest, and at halftime I just sent him a message going, absolutely love where this is going, because it really, really felt like it was going to be one of those games again, because Forest, from about 5 minutes in, were defending really, really deep in the box, and Arsenal, in a situation like that, you have to be patient, don't you? You have to remember that your team aren't necessarily as stressed out as you are, and they are just being patient, trying to keep plugging away. Yeah. Proper, but it doesn't necessarily feel that way.
It's proper Arsenal like, 5 years ago vibes.
Yeah,
But that's why I've said it was impressive, because Arsenal just kept at it.
Absolutely.
And to be honest with you, I just think they had Forest at arm's length the whole time, and it was just a matter of when. They scored a couple of goals, could have had a few more. Mm. The Forest goal was, you know, a proper consolation against the run of play.
It is interesting, though. I think the way Forest set up in this situation, and Forest aren't the only team that do it, and Arsenal aren't the only teams do it too, because of Morgan Gibbs-White in particular. Mm-hmm. There's a sense that if they're crowding the box like that, it's safer to go around than it is to attempt to go through, because they are essentially the same thing. But you know, if you lose the ball in a central area, he's going to spring that trap, and they are going to have a really good chance of scoring. Yeah. They've scored a lot of goals like that this season. I think they've got the highest goals from quick breaks in it this season, which was one of the stats that was shown in the game, and I'm not surprised at all. And he is absolutely essential to that. But I was impressed by the way that they sort of kept grinding it out and kept on. They mixed the play up a bit in the second half as well. Yeah. In a tale as old as time, as soon as they got that first goal, Forest had to come out, and then Arsenal got a second on the break and needed it as well, because Awoniyi is going to score against us.
He is, yes. Nice to see Saka.
He will come back from injury specifically for it. I think he's still injured. He'll probably disappear again now.
Yeah, it's funny though. Before the game, Mikel Arteta saying post-match with regards to what he felt as they arrived at the City Ground, he said, I could feel it. The players were talking about the defeat at Forest last season, coming to that dressing room. It really reminds you, our brains, I love it when he talks about the brains, our brains and bodies are really intelligent, and coming to the same situation, they know what happened and they were really active and engaged.
Yeah.
I mean, just talking about, they have a memory of it. You know?
Indeed. He did a very smart thing. Yes. I think last season he was looking at this fixture and thinking, what this needs is Matt Turner.
Yeah.
But for them.
Yeah.
So we'll sort that out in the summer. We'll try and make this bogey ground a little bit easier to navigate. Because he was at fault for Jesus's goal.
Yeah.
You could argue, yes.
It was a genius move.
It was good to see I know Saka's played like pretty much every match this season, and he's played 90 minutes in most of them.
Yeah.
He's looked so good the last couple of matches compared to what he has done the five previous. Is that
agreed,
fair?
Yeah, James, agreed.
He feels like he's a little bit more free of injury. I just think he's just played a lot of football.
It's a Harry Kane-esque thing, isn't it?
Definitely benefited from the break, for sure. It's really, really noticeable. Him and Martinelli, I think they're making decisions a bit quicker as well,
which that's
true across the whole team. They were still a little bit ponderous at times last night, but when a team's set up like that, there's always going to be the danger of that.
But I mean, it's not a break, is it? I think it's a little bit like... In reality, he would have needed a rest, but he's like a proper rest. But he's just too important, and it's a bit like Harry Kane used to be for Spurs. He'd have these physical dips, and he'd back himself to just play himself through it.
Yeah,
and it's like, yeah, I'll come out the other side of this. I won't actually have a rest because that's not like actually feasible in modern football, and especially with the importance that I have to my team. But I'll get there. Then I am
concerned about the long term effects of that on Saka. We've seen it with so many players where they play a lot when they're young.
Yeah, I think you can look at like other like players like Jude Bellingham. The amount of minutes he has played compared to, you know, predecessor, you know, top five players in the world. It's horrendous, really. Yeah. It just doesn't bear thinking about. So let's not think about it. Let's talk about Matt Turner instead. or Gabriel Jesus, because I tell you what, I think he was massively important in this, and not just because of the goal. You talk about all the other work that he does. A part of that other work is in the first half when they were missing chances, going around like G-ing up his teammates. He's
always trying to make something happen. Yeah, it's a terrier.
He's a massive personality in that team, and I think you can really underrate that.
Yeah, I was very impressed with him. That is the sort of stuff you miss. Obviously, he scored last night. He's not a prolific goal scorer. We know that. I think he's never likely to be that. But you're right. That work is really, really important in terms of just, I suppose, unlocking others and keeping the energy up, keeping that mentality going. And another little change that's been good recently is Declan Rice is taking more corners. And there've been a few of them Matt Turner plucked out of the air, but generally speaking, they've been pretty good. Gabriel's first goal against Palace the other weekend was from a Declan Rice corner, and he's been impressive there. I think that's obviously you lose his height in the box, but it's been good. And a moment for Murillo, who was absolutely fantastic again. He's getting a lot of plaudits. Muriel too, but Murillo in particular looks absolutely like he's going to be a big, big player.
He's an absolute chinchilla of a player, isn't he? I mean, unbelievable.
What did you think of Ben White and Alexander Zinchenko having a little bit of words?
Yeah,
a little bit of words.
It's because Zinchenko played Forrest on side, essentially, for the first goal. If you look at the line of the players, it's clearly something that they drill and something they've got a strategy for, and Zinchenko slipped up on it, and Ben White is just who he is, isn't he?
It's so, nice to know he cares.
It is, yeah, he likes winning. He might not like football, but he likes winning.
Yeah,
I think
we can put Ben White in the Range Rover with Rob Edwards and the boys, can't we?
He's got the hue for it, certainly.
Yeah. Before the game, he was asked if he prefers to play right back or centre back, and he said, I'm not too bothered.
I literally don't know what either of those things.
Can I go home? I think that's the Ben White version of I'm happy to play anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think he knows?
He's absolutely playing up to all this stuff, but I also think he genuinely is that dry. He just wants to. He just wants to go to Dubai with his wife.
Yeah.
That's what he wants to do.
Yeah,
but he's got to play football. Well, he enjoys it on the pitch. Hates being on the bench, obviously, because then he's got to watch football.
I think what he should have done was sort of made out that English wasn't his first language and he couldn't speak it very well. And he went like Ronaldo used to do. Brazilian Ronaldo, we mentioned it the other day.
Ben Arfa used to do that.
Of course,
and
he did.
And then obviously, when people wanted to speak to him after a good performance, his ego got the better of him and he'd start chatting perfect English.
But surely, like, if you pretend that you don't speak a language, obviously your press days are going to be reduced, aren't you? You're going to have more free time.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Or they're going to last longer because you're going to have to go through an interpreter, so everything takes time.
Don't get me wrong, I think it would be far more difficult for Ben White to convince people that English he couldn't speak English. I mean, to be fair, Andy did it with us for ages. He kept speaking in French and then eventually we found him out and we got him on the pod. You know,
it's nice to see a person ignore media training, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which is absolutely
what he does. It's rare, but I like it.
Just not engaging is entertaining.
No. Mikel Arteta's not engaging. I suppose you could argue he did actually with the links with Barcelona. He said, fake news. Totally fake news.
He did.
He did his best Donald Trump impersonation. He said, I don't know where it's coming from. It's totally untrue. I am really upset about it. No source, nothing. I love that.
Well, I think it's because everyone knows the situation at Barcelona and their economic levers. And we all know their strategy is you can only approach people who are in La Masia, like, because no one else is going to touch it. You've got to like play on that Barcelona DNA thing, trying to guilt trip them into it. I mean, obviously there's talk of the big man, the biggest of big men, being taken over.
Well, Georges Mensch is reportedly putting Jose Mourinho forward for the Barcelona job. Look, we know he'll put him forward because he's a client, okay?
Hey, and we know he was a coach there.
Well, we know Mourinho would love that dearly. It's not going to happen, sadly.
Do you think there's... Is there any chance of it, Andy? Please tell us the...
Come on, Andy.
Deco is sporting director there.
Right.
Which I think...
He knows he's worked with Mourinho, so therefore surely...
Yeah, and they won trophies together.
Yeah, but I mean, there was that thing, wasn't there, when he was playing for Porto? And there was those... where was this? It might have been in maybe one of Jonathan Wilson's books or somewhere, where the text messages, there was that Mourinho was basically just texting the coach, because obviously he was up in the stands because he was banned from the touchline or something. And it was just like, Deco needs to get better. Deco needs to do this. But like, the whole time he was on Deco's back. If you're Deco, you're not thinking, I'm having a lovely time, but I don't need that bloke knocking on my door every 2 minutes. Transfer. When's the transfer window opening? Just shut up, Jose.
Because Deco is not just someone who knows him from previously. He's a Georges Mensch client as well.
Oh, so big Georges will decide.
I think it's interesting. I mean, obviously, it would be the worst possible thing that Barcelona could do for them. The best possible thing that Barcelona could do for us.
Oh, of course.
And but just because it's a terrible thing for them, it doesn't mean it won't happen.
Andy,
I still think it's unlikely, but...
Unlikely.
Yeah, Laporte makes it unlikely, right?
But they've just walked out of a coach who, despite his history, was playing terrible football.
Wow.
So, you know... Keep up your global profile.
Yeah, right.
I'm obsessed with the fact that Mensch started, Big George started his career as like a nightclub guy. Like he owned a nightclub.
Doesn't surprise me.
In Lisbon, I believe. And I try to dig it out, some reviews of his sort of restaurant nightclub.
Mm-hmm. Surprised you just didn't go.
Quadrophonia.
Ooh.
Very dry and hard meat, shrimps with green heads. Cuttlefish undercooked. How do you undercook cuttlefish?
Yeah. I like my seafood
medium rare.
All served in a sea of coffee and cream sauce. So maybe agent work is probably where he should remain.
He wasn't cut out for that, was he?
No.
Oh, dearie me. Well, back to the Premier League. Arsenal, 2 points behind Liverpool, who played Chelsea tonight. You will want Chelsea to win that football match, Jim.
Yep. So I'm going to watch this one in the bath. So I can scrub myself as I think that.
But Arsenal play Liverpool at the Emirates on Sunday.
Mm.
Crucial.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're not confident.
I've watched Liverpool win twice in the flesh this season. You were there for one of them. They're really good, aren't they?
Yeah, they couldn't beat Fulham in that
game.
They didn't need to beat Fulham in that game.
They've already beaten them elsewhere. They've pre-beaten them.
that's a huge one.
It is a huge one.
We'll talk about that on Friday.
Yeah, I think the it was interesting. The game in the FA Cup where Liverpool eventually won 2-0 at the Emirates was interesting because Arsenal played really well. They also played well in the 1-1 draw. And if they'd been a little bit more ruthless and made more of their chances, it could have been a very different game, and they're in a bit of better form, so be interesting to see how this one goes.
Yeah, we'll talk about it on Friday though, Jim.
Yeah,
because we want to talk about Crystal Palace and Eberechi Eze. My goodness,
I love him.
Yes,
he's Sheffield one of United. My favourite players in the league.
They beat Sheffield United 3-2 and he lit up the place. Surely. Now, I know we like to say on the Ramble that if you're going to tout someone who's maybe not a regular in the England squad, you therefore have to nominate the person you're going to remove from the squad, because it's all very well said, I should be in the England squad.
Southgate!
Yeah, they should. Yeah.
Get rid!
They should all be in the England squad. But Eze could be a little joker in the pack, maybe, Andy, because the quality he brings.
Yeah, and I think what's particular about this game, the two finishes, they're both brilliant in their own way.
They are.
But so different. Mm. I think the really interesting question here, does Michael Olise make it into the France squad for Euro 2024?
Oh, I see. Straight away. Turn it on, look at the
Mate, I've not got my own show to talk about European football. I've got to do it somewhere.
let him cook.
Let's talk about it in a Palace context.
As he scores in the final of the Euros, then Elise goes up the other end and scores a winner for France.
Well, I don't
know. Here we go.
Well, as long as Eze gets two and Elise gets one, I'll be happy with that.
Eze was on one last night, though, wasn't he?
Really,
he was doing like doing keepy uppies on the touchline.
He was playing for the manager, Peter.
For the manager, was he?
Yeah.
I don't think Roy necessarily enjoys the keepy uppies.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I look at this game and I think, if you're Hodgson, you're obviously taking it as some sort of vindication. But realistically, how are you not winning matches with these two guys in your team?
Yeah. Well, I did win that one, Andy.
Yeah.
Against the worst team in the league.
Lovely finish from Brereton Diaz in the first minute as well. We've spoken a lot about him recently.
He's taken to the Brendan well.
Yeah, and James McAtee's having a really good season quietly as well. So the pair of them, I suppose, show a little bit of positivity for Sheffield United.
I love his antivirus.
Yes, very good. Seen the documentary about that bloke?
Yeah, he's wild.
Jesus Christ,
he was wild.
Yes. Anyway, moving on from recommendations. I think Elise was missing for a little while, wasn't he? And that makes a huge difference. They're two players of such starkly higher quality than what's around them that you spend the rest of the season just tailoring the team to them.
Well, I think that's probably what they've tried to do. I mean, Hodgson is famed for being a little bit more defensive, of course. Mm. And maybe that's been the case with one or two coaches there. But what I find interesting about Eze is he is a midfield player. You would think that with the kind of flair and tackling he has, he would be more of a kind of winger like Elise and obviously Ayew. But he does sit in that midfield. He has a bit of industry to his game, which sometimes he's maybe not given credit for. But with the criticism that Hodgson has had this season, and understandably so, these are the players who could, and we'll have here, maybe dig him out a bit.
They can't not define your season. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, and I think that, look, I think it would be sad. I mean, I'm not talking on behalf of anybody but myself here, but I think it would be sad if Hodgson was to get sacked before the end of the season, because that would mean Palace have had bad performances and bad results. What I think, from a very neutral point of view, is I want Palace to get the results. I want these players to be able to play a bit more, and then Hodgson to leave at the end of the season and go, okay, thanks, Roy, see you later. Right, and who's the next person coming in, and see what they can do. The fact is, you would have thought clubs would be looking at these two. They probably have been for a long time. Do they have the money to do it, et cetera, et cetera? Who knows? But with those two in the Palace lineup, if you're a manager coming in, which there will be a new manager, whether it's the summer or before, you would love to work with them, presumably, because you've got, I think, a reasonably solid team. But these two players, who any team in the league, especially in the lower half, will be crying out for that kind of talent.
Eze's presenting them with a particular problem, isn't he, though? Mm-hmm. Because he's playing so well this season, mm-hmm. that you just think, Elise's the obvious one to go. Because, of course, he signed a new contract, but you would expect there to be a release clause in it. You would expect a club to come along and pay that, a club that's not Chelsea, because he clearly didn't want to go there at the end of the season. But they can't afford to lose Elise and Eze in the same summer.
No.
And the problem is that Eze's playing so well, you're thinking, how can Palace keep him?
Yeah.
So they're kind of heading towards a situation where they might lose them in the same summer. And then that is a hospital pass for whichever coach takes over after Hodgson.
Isn't it time Wilfred Zaha came back? Isn't he due?
You see, that's the thing. When they offered that massive contract to Zaha at the end of last season, there was too much emotion involved in that, really, wasn't there? Because really, I think he knows it's Eze and Elise's team now, and they should be taking it on, and they are taking it on. Well, they would have been taking it on if Elise had been fit for a lot of the season, which is obviously anything we say on Palace has got to be caveated by the fact that Elise hasn't played enough games, and that's not his fault, and that's not Hodgson's fault. But that is the counterpoint to that, the fact that if they do end up next season, and they are going to stay up, but if they end up next season without these two guys, you could say blank canvas. It's starting at the bottom of the mountain, isn't it?
I mean, but if they do sell them, then they'll get a fair penny, of course, for either one.
Yeah, but like we've seen that with players before, like spending that wisely, spending that judiciously, especially if, with the best will in the world, your Palace, it's really difficult.
Yeah.
It's really difficult. Like, it's underrated how well, for example, Villa have spent the Grealish money compared to like what Luke was saying the other week with like
Bale and Spurs.
Bale and Spurs. You know, they got a few parts off that, but didn't really quite go to plan, did it?
Yeah. Mm. I think it's worth thinking about the conversations we would be having if Palace had lost this game. So obviously they went behind twice in the game.
Yeah.
You got the banner in the last game, which obviously very sort of emotional, yeah, really shows you that the things are pretty close to breaking point. Like, his players have dug him out here. You know, obviously they've got themselves in a situation where they've gone behind twice, but like, this was really, really important to win this game against the bottom club in the league.
Yeah, and that's it, isn't it? Football's full of these moments, isn't it? As you say, if Elise's shot doesn't go in, you know, Hodgson takes them off not long after that, Elise and Eze, because of, you know, he said that they were both had sort of minor injuries and stuff. Yeah, they end the game 2-2, but the fact is they won it. So they go on for the next time. I mean, Palace are 6 points clear of the relegation zone. Sheffield United are 9 points from safety. You know, that's what that result does. Palace should be winning these games, and they did win it, so you have to give a bit of credit, but it was the absolute quality of those three goals. I mean, you might not see, you know, you don't often see a team score three goals and three goals like that. It was phenomenal stuff. But as I say, Eberechi Eze, I think he could be one of those players who kind of sneaks into the Euro squad. And it would be lovely to have him in there. Agreed. Gentlemen, let's go to some international football. Let's talk about the Asian Cup. I think we've talked much, or if at all, about the Asian Cup so far. We've been concentrating on the Africa Cup of Nations, which we will get to. But there's been some quite interesting happenings, particularly in the Jordan-Iraq match, which Jordan won 3-2 on Monday. They were 2-1 down, and they scored two very, very late goals in injury time. And this was after Iraq's Ayman Hussein was sent off when he made it 2-1. He was shown a second yellow card for pretending to eat the grass.
Robbie Fowler.
It wasn't a Robbie Fowler celebration, we should say, but he mimicked the Jordanian goal celebration from earlier in the game. Yeah. So not only does he end up with a red card, they bloody went out as well.
Yeah, so there's a little bit more to it than that. So the celebration that the Jordanian players were doing references eating a dish called mansaf, which is sort of essentially the national dish. Right. So Hussein mimicking that was seen as essentially being deliberately disrespectful. Hence, he got those. I think it was essentially like unsporting behaviour.
Yeah. Did they VAR the emotional kind of weight of this? Kind of like, they got real big thinkers, the history of the dish, the history of the country.
They looked at the fans, the Jordanian fans in the stadium, or they're angry. Yeah, it's a yellow card.
They're angry. They're getting peckish.
Yeah. There's a tear in the eye there.
They're hangry. Oh, they're hangry. Get him off.
Yeah. So it's an interesting one. A local derby as well.
Yeah. So I think still a very harsh sending off, even for that, given the sort of, given the incredible emotions that you must feel when putting your country ahead in an important game like that in a tournament.
He looked surprised.
He did. Yeah, he did look very, very surprised.
Should have eaten the card.
That would have shown him. A group of journalists had their accreditations revoked after confronting the Iraq coach, Jesus Casius, in the post-match press conference as well. The referee's also been targeted online. So it's a lot of bad stuff has happened from that one as well. But they're through, though, are the Jordanians. They're going to play Tajikistan in the quarterfinals. Tajikistan, I think it might be their first Asian Cup, Tajikistan. We might mention that before. But they're in the quarterfinals, of course. South Korea, or should I say the Republic of Korea, but we affectionately call them South Korea in this part of the world. They beat Saudi Arabia on penalties, drawing 1-1 in normal time. And I find it hilarious in this day and age how injury time, you've always got at least 5-6 minutes injury time now, doesn't it? It used to be like, yeah, 3 was your standard back in the day. There was 10 minutes of injury time, and in that 10 minutes, South Korea missed 2 glorious chances and then got an equaliser. Mm. So if they had not have progressed or at least taken it further, they would have been absolutely gutted. But of course, Jurgen Klinsmann is the man in charge of South Korea and was absolutely delighted after
the
game.
He was beaming on the Zoom call, wasn't he?
There's a glorious moment where they win the shootout and everyone runs onto the pitch and Klinsmann's sort of like celebrating and looking around and they all run past him. I think it's probably because none of them knew who he was.
Honestly, why would you want to be there?
I know, like, that guy's voice.
He just seems like, whenever he takes a job, he just always seems like he's just this kind of like wallflower in the room. Nobody, I mean, and you know, probably he doesn't understand a single word of Korean. Mm. Like, not that many people in this room do, but like, he's in the
but
job.
None of us have managed.
But
South
none of us
Korea.
Have managed South Korea. It just seems like he's a real imposition on sides. Yeah. Remember when he was at Bayern and like the Bayern team had to meet like secretly behind his back to talk tactics. He never really did tactics.
Brilliant, isn't it?
It's like he's bad at this, Andy, isn't he?
To be fair, that happened to Carlo Ancelotti at Bayern as well.
Fair.
I think the thing is with this, the footage of all the bench running past him where he's got his arms out in that I've just scored for Tottenham, like vintage pose, is brilliant, because I reckon Jason Tindall, you get home from Birmingham last night, you think, oh, it's not that bad, is it?
Yeah, that's it.
It could have been 10 people blanking me.
Yeah. They've got Australia in the next round.
Oof.
The Aussies.
Very good.
Yeah, who gubbed Indonesia.
Do you reckon he'll be getting some light baiting, Son, via text from Ange Postecoglou?
Well, I hope so. Yeah, that's a good point, isn't it? So in the Africa Cup of Nations, everybody, it's quite the tournament this year. South Africa, of course, beat the favourites Morocco 2-0 to qualify for the quarterfinals. Hakimi, one of Morocco's star players, misses a penalty late on.
Unbelievable.
And they're out. Lovely free kick to finish the game off for South Africa, 2-0.
I'm surprised they even shot from the free kick, because it's like the 95th minute. Yeah. Surely just take it in the corner. But what do I know? We'd have missed a glorious, glorious goal.
We would have done. But this was after Amrabat was sent off for Morocco as well, and they were down to 10.
Amrabat and his beautiful eyes.
Yeah.
Beautiful eyes, Amrabat.
Morocco were missing a couple of key players, but it's a wonderful win for South Africa, who go through. And they are rewarded, of course, with a game against Pete Donaldson's Cape Verde.
It's a good tournament. Well, and it's only getting better, Marcus.
It is, yes. And as Daniel Story pointed out on Twitter, every single nation that reached the quarters in the previous tournament has been replaced by another one at this.
It's remarkable.
Which is unprecedented, I think. Yeah. It is absolutely sensational stuff.
No wonder they're dancing in the press box.
The Ivorians are.
Yeah.
That was a bit disrespectful, wasn't it, when Ivory Coast beat Senegal on penalties, which seemed a very unlikely result considering how crazy the tournament's been. But if anybody didn't see this, there was a journalist, proper accredited journalist. Imagine Andy doing this.
With his shirt off.
Or my mate Henry Winter. Somebody that England go through, whips his shirt off, down to his kecks, and is just waving it around his head. And everyone's looking on going, what's going on here?
I was clattering on.
Yeah. I just assumed it was like an excitable fan had jumped up there. And then you see, oh no, he's got a lanyard on. That man, he does this for a living.
It's where he starts bogling with that guy's camera tripod.
Yes!
That's the bit.
And the man takes it away.
The cameraman's like, I think you should come, give me that tripod. Oh, this is even worse. I'm getting out of here.
I forgot about the tripod. Brilliant.
Oh my goodness! But it was a great shame for Senegal.
It was,
yeah. There was tears, as you would imagine, but there was jubilant scenes for Ivory Coast. They're in the quarterfinals. It did not seem likely considering how they just about got through the group.
You texted us saying the mere mention of Hervé Renard has inspired them to get to the quarterfinals.
I think that's what it was. He's like Captain Tom looking down. He's like, do it for that guy. Do it for him. Yeah. And they're like, damn right we will.
You reckon they've just like come in the dressing room, put like a white shirt on a peg?
Maybe. Leopard skin.
Yeah.
Or leopard print, we should say. Although you never know. You wouldn't put it past Renard, would you?
What, to be able to skin a leopard with his bare hands and then wear it?
Correct. No, he wouldn't need to. He would just look at the leopard, give him a little wing, go, let's have your skin. It'll grow back. Come on. An interesting one. Andy, stop laughing. Who are you having for the tournament? Who do you fancy?
Well, it's got to be Ivory Coast now, right?
Surely not, is it?
Well, there's a lot of surely nots in this tournament. Yeah. Right?
True.
I would think Nigeria.
With Osimhen up front and Iwobi pulling the strings.
You would think so, but every time you see Osimhen, like Didier Drogba's next to him, I think Didier Drogba's going to like nick him at some point.
Right. What, arrest him?
So he won't play any more games?
Just like take him away to protect Ivory Coast from being faced with him.
Yeah, it would be quite an outrageous tactic, but it would be effective, you'd say. But yeah, I look at that. I mean, Ivory Coast, you would say they were favourites against Mali to win that, and then it would be DR Congo and Guinea in the semi-final. You start mapping it out. That is pretty favourable as it goes in this tournament. But then you would say the same about Nigeria. You would say, well, Angola, okay, not a bad tie, but there'd be favourites. And then Cape Verde or South Africa in the semi-final. So it all would suggest that perhaps it would be a Nigeria-Ivory Coast final, which would be sort of proper sort of classic AFCON stuff.
But it's put like
But it's just not going to end up like that.
No,
you would
think. It's
Do you know why? Bebe.
Yeah, there we go.
He's still in the mix.
There we go. It's put a massive amount of pressure on Nigeria though now, hasn't it?
Well, and Ivory Coast, you'd say.
But of course, like Nigeria arrive, especially with the attacking options they've got, and you know, they're the favourites for a lot of people anyway. But now they're beyond favourites into that bit where you can't not win. It's almost a disgrace if you don't win it. Or that's the way it'll be seen by a lot of people.
Yeah, I've enjoyed to see Bafana though, having a lovely old time. It's been a while. So, you can't take your eyes off
Marcus,
it.
Why don't Angola win more football matches?
Yeah, I was thinking about this.
That's what they're called.
Still don't have an answer.
Okay.
Yeah. Why are you thinking? Do you like them because
they should
like,
be called Angola?
They could be. I thought you were going down a more England route, you know, England, you know, Angolia,
Angleterre. Right.
I mean, you're kind of, but you weren't, which is
I wasn't.
Very sad for me.
I wasn't.
But a relief for them, probably. There we are, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. Patreon subscribers, don't go anywhere. Keep listening for Ramble Uncut. And if you're not a Patreon subscriber, sign up to get Ramble Uncut every single Wednesday. Head over to patreon.com/footballramble. You can also follow us on Twitter, currently known as X, TikTok, YouTube and Instagram at Football Ramble. And don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app. Thank you, Andy B.
Thank you, Marcus.
Thank you, PED.
In today's Ramble Uncut, we're going to be revealing the real underground Premier League, known only to the Football Ramble.
Uh-oh, let's keep away from libel comments. Mm. And Jimmy C, thank
let's
you.
Embrace the libel.
Oh, see you in jail, everybody.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
The Championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with The Second Tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real Championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search Second Tier in your podcast app
and hit subscribe.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.